Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and today conclude our series of studies on the topic, The Intent of Lent. During this Lenten season, as you're watching this program, we've been dealing with Lent, the reasonings behind Lent, the purpose of Lent, and then whether or not Lent should be practiced today in the dispensation of grace by members of the church, the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 5 has been our starting point for this series of studies in verse 1. So you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians in verse 1. As you do that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information on how you can contact us. We have, of course, a mail address, a web address, and also a toll-free phone number. And if you contact us in any one of those ways, number one, if you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear those. And then number two, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, we'd be glad to get those out to you. Just request the series on Lent, and we'll get it out to you right away. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Galatians 5 and verse number 1, we read this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, as we've been telling you in the first 3 weeks of this series of studies, that verse doesn't particularly refer to Lent, doesn't specifically refer to Lent, but it does talk about the underlying idea behind Lent. And as we've gone through this series of studies, we've reviewed each week that underlying idea behind the underlying principle behind the idea of Lent. And we've seen that Lent is a 40-day period of penitence and fasting between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, the 40 weekdays between those two dates. In Scripture, we don't read about that 40-day period. We don't read about Ash Wednesday, Easter, any of those days or any of that timing. But as we've seen, we do in Scripture see a day that fits many of the characteristics of Lent. And that day was the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. It's the day when the nation Israel had a day to afflict their souls because of their sin. It's a day when the high priest went in and offered sacrifice because of the sins of the nation. It's a day that was a year-by-year reminder for the nation Israel of the fact that they were sinners, and that the requirements and the works and the ordinances and the sacrifices of the law ultimately could do nothing to change that. We saw in the book of Hebrews that the writer of Hebrews says that those sacrifices of the law and those ordinances of the law and those rituals of the law could never make the comers thereunto perfect. Those things that the law required could never perfect the people that came and practiced those things. What they needed was a sacrifice that could make them perfect. And we saw in our last 2 weeks of studies that that perfect sacrifice is Jesus Christ, and that His blood is the sacrifice that perfected forever those that are sanctified. That sacrifice of Christ makes us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. In fact, let's turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and notice what he says here about the sacrifice of Christ and the benefit that believers get from that sacrifice. Ephesians 5 verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. You see, Jesus Christ gave Himself for us that we might be holy and without blemish, without spot. It's not observing Lent or the Day of Atonement or a Sabbath day or a feast days or any kind of work that makes you righteous in God's sight. It's not giving up something to sacrifice for Lent that atones for your sin. The only thing that will atone for your sin and the only sacrifice sufficient to pay for your sin is the sacrifice of Christ. If you turn back to the 3rd chapter of the book of Romans, Paul says in Romans 3 and verse number 25. Whom God, speaking of Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that is a satisfaction through faith in His blood. You see, God Almighty looked at all the works done by all men under the law for all those hundreds of years, and He said, none of those good works satisfy my justice. And He looked at all the blood of all the bulls and goats, the millions and millions of bulls and goats and animals that were sacrificed through the years, and He said, all that shed blood and all that death doesn't satisfy my justice. But He looked at one drop of the blood of Christ, and He said, my justice is satisfied. My justice is now, my wrath is appeased, my anger is appeased, because I'm satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. Because His blood is sufficient for the remission of sins. So it's the blood of Christ. And it's your faith in Him, your faith in His shed blood that brings salvation, that brings redemption, that brings eternal life. Not the observance of Lent, not the observance of any work of the law, but your faith in Christ. Now, what we want to discuss this week as we bring this series of studies to a close is how then do you deal with sin in your life? How do you get rid of sin that's in your life? We know that the penalty of sin is taken care of. We know that you no longer need to fear the judgment of God because Christ's death has cleansed you from your sin. Christ's death has washed you clean. Your faith in His death, burial, and resurrection has eliminated your sin debt. You never need to pay for your sin because you put your faith and trust in Christ who paid for them for you. But what about those acts of sin that you commit in your life? How do you get rid of those? Because one of the ideas behind Lent is during that time of Lent, I am not going to sin. I'm going to think about my sin and try to rid myself of that sin. And those things that I've done, I try not to do anymore. But you know, the thing that's interesting is every year you got to do it again, which means it doesn't work. It's not working. So you say, well, I'm going to try harder. But you know, if you try harder, you're just doing more of something that didn't work before. I'm just going to do it a little bit harder, but it's still not going to work. But Paul in his epistles, because Paul is the one in his epistles that explains to us how we can have salvation by Jesus Christ, how it's faith in His blood that cleanses us from sin, how it's faith in His blood that gives us eternal life, how it's faith in His death, burial, and resurrection that makes us righteous in Him. Paul in his epistles also explains to us, how do you live your life? How do you get rid of those acts of sin in your life without putting yourself back under the law? You see, the passage here, let's go back there to Galatians chapter 5. The passage in Galatians 5, Paul is telling us, beseeching us, not to go back under the works of the law. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if he be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Don't go back and be tangled again in the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the works of the law. Don't go back and become a debtor to the law. Stand fast in the liberty that you have in Christ. Well, if you're not going to go back under the works of the law, if you're not going to go back under a system that says thou shalt not, then how are you going to control sin in your life? How are you going to deal with sin in your life? Well, the first step to controlling sin and dealing with sin in your life is understanding where sin comes from. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And in 1 John chapter 2, we will read about where sin comes from and how it enters into our lives. 1 John 2 verse 16. for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What's out there in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those three things are not of the Father, but of the world. So how do we deal with those things? How do we deal with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life? It's not of the Father. It's out there in the world. It's going to seek to come into our lives. Sin will seek to come into our lives through those three avenues, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. How do we deal with that? Do we observe Lent to try to get rid of those things for that 40 days? Do you go back under a law that says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this? How do we get rid of those things in our lives? Well, let's turn back to the book of Ephesians for a moment, Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul reveals something to us about that we'll call the replacement principle. That is, that in Paul's epistles, he doesn't tell you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, as much as he'll say, take this and replace it with this. He doesn't just say, thou shalt not do thus and so. He says, if you're doing thus and so, take that thing and replace it with this thing over here. And we call that, it's not original with me, but it's typically called the replacement principle. Let's look at an example of that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you put off the old man, put on the new man. So what's an example of that? We'll look in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now there's some illustration. What does it mean to put off and put on? Well, verse 25, see, he doesn't say, as the law might, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But what he says is, put away lying and speak truth. So replace lying with truth. It's not just don't lie and sit there and think about not lying. It's replace lying with speaking the truth. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor working with his hands. Don't just sit around and think about not stealing. Take stealing and replace it with working. Let him labor working with his hands, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. He doesn't just say, do not have any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He says, that corrupt communication, replace it with that which is good to the use of edifying. See, and that's the principle that Paul always uses in his epistles. You take that bad thing and you replace it with a good thing. And that becomes much easier. Instead of focusing on, I can't commit this sin, 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 which is what the law focused on. The law focused on thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Paul says, take this good thing and do it. And you know what you'll find? If you spend all your time doing the good thing, you don't have time left to do the bad thing. Just replace this bad thing that you're doing with a good thing and you won't have time for the bad thing. Turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. He talks about this replacement principle here. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You've put off the old man and his deeds. You've put on the new man. That new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, after God and Jesus Christ. He's renewed. He's renewed in knowledge. Paul says you need to change your thinking about things. You need to change your mind. You need to think about the things that are good and not think about the things that are evil. And as you think about those things that are good, do them. Practice them. And you will put off automatically those things that are evil, because you're putting on the things that are good. Put off those things by putting on the good things. Turn back to Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans 12. People often ask me, how do I know what God's will is? Well, you know, Paul tells you what God's will is here in Romans chapter 12, what you need to be doing. Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Rejoicing in hope. Serving the Lord, rather. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Condescend of men to low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All that list that Paul gives there, those are all good things. What's God's will for you? Do this. Do Romans 12. And if you get done doing Romans 12, then come back and I'll give you something else that is God's will from His Word. But so you can spend your whole life doing Romans 12, just putting on the things that are good and doing the things that are good puts off those things that are evil. And it's that there's a difference in focus. From focusing on the sin. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10? In those sacrifices of the law, the Day of Atonement and all the rest, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. The very character and nature of the law focuses on sin. The very character and nature of grace focuses on Christ. So the focus is different. The character and nature of the law is look at you and how sinful you are. The character and nature of grace is look at Christ and how righteous He is and how righteous you've been made in Him. Now live out that righteousness that you've been given in Him. Not to get more righteousness, but because you've already been given all righteousness in Him. Now there are three specific verses we want to look at in Paul's epistles. Not coincidentally, or not uncoincidentally, I should say, Paul in his epistles is going to give you a verse that you can put on for every one of those possible attacks of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You know, and if what you do when the lust of flesh attacks is sit there and focus on that thing that you're lusting after in your flesh and say, I have to get rid of that, 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 I can't lust after it, that thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You need something to replace that with. You need some truth from God's Word to replace the lust of the flesh with. You see, that new man is renewed in knowledge, Colossians chapter 3 says. It's knowledge that renews him. And by faith, we have to believe what God's Word says and act accordingly. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians chapter 5. It's the passage, the chapter that we've used as our starting point. This verse a little further down in that passage, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. What positive thing can you put on if the lust of the flesh is a problem? If you're in a situation and the lust of the flesh is there. Galatians 5:24 says this, "They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. See, now there's a positive thing. That's not just saying, don't lust, don't lust, don't lust. That's telling you, based on who you are in Christ, based on the righteousness that God has given you in Christ, based on your position in Christ, that's telling you, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, if you've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, it has no more hold on you. What your flesh tells you is, I want that thing. But what the verse tells you is, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It has no more hold on you. That flesh has no more hold on you. And if you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, and you're living in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit also. And by faith, you can believe that verse. It's not focusing on the lust that's going to get rid of the lust. It's not spending some time in Lent and self-denial that's going to get rid of it. It's believing that verse and acting on that verse. So if we make a little list here, the lust of the flesh, there's a verse, Galatians 5:24, that you can apply to the lust of the flesh, and that will give you positive reinforcement how to deal with that in your life. What about the lust of the eyes? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Would that help you deal with lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes? If you look at things not seen, see, lust of the eyes, that's the things you see. What's that verse tell you about what you can see? The things that are seen are temporal, temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. When the lust of the eye is a problem, the positive reinforcement to deal with the lust of the eye is 2 Corinthians 4:18. I'm not going to look at the things that are seen because the things that are seen are temporary. You understand, if you see it, it's not going to be around forever. If you can see it, you can use that definition, it works every time. If you can see it, it's not going to be around. It's temporary. Only things you can't see will last forever. So why be too enticed about things you can see, the lust of the eye, when they're just temporary? And the things that are going to be around forever. Anything you see, this podium, these papers, my body of flesh, this lamp, this bookcase, it's temporary. Only things you can't see are eternal. Focus on those. Finally, pride of life. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. The pride of life. How would you deal with the pride of life? Philippians 2 verse 5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Was Jesus Christ a proud man? Not at all. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Paul says, Let this mind be in you. Philippians chapter 5. Or chapter 2, rather, I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you. That mind of a servant. That mind of humbleness. He says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. There's some positive, if the pride of life is a problem for you, there's some positive reinforcement on what to do about it. See, the way to get rid of these things in your life is not to give yourself 40 days to think about what a rotten person you are. The way to get rid of these things in your life is to, by faith, take those verses and believe what those verses say instead of what your flesh is telling you. That's the way to get rid of sin in your life. Not through the works of the law, not through the sacrifices of the law, and not through a man-made observance like Lent, but by taking the truth of God's Word and making it real in your life. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive. If you have any questions or comments about what you've heard in this month's series of studies, our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number is 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. If you have questions or comments about the program, also if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, DVDs, or CDs of this entire month's series of studies, this will be the last week that we offer them here on Grace Alive. Just write and request. The series title is The Intent of Lent. If you just mention the series on Lent, we'll get it out to you right away. Until next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.